Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's broadcast of Firefly Willows LIVE. Our hosts this week are Tarot by High Seas, High Sea Lutmers, and John Caracella, who works with runes and animal totems. We're opening up the phone lines to our listeners for live on-air readings. Do you have a concern, or is there a situation you'd like guidance with? Get your question ready and join us by calling 1-646-716-5510 or by using the Skype button on the Firefly Willows LIVE show page at Blog Talk Radio after the show begins broadcasting. We're excited. Give us a listen. Firefly Willows LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today. Thank you very much for listening in. This is our monthly call-in show where you have the opportunity to receive readings live on the air from different hosts of shows under the Firefly Willows LIVE channel. Today, you will be getting readings from myself, Hi C, and I tend to use the Tarot as well as a little bit of the I Ching and sometimes just a little bit of intuitive or psychic information that comes through. And I will also be joined by John Caracella, who is host of a couple of shows under Firefly Willows LIVE. On the third Sundays of each month, you can hear him hosting his show Convergence at 10:30 in the morning. And on the first Tuesday and the third Tuesday of each month, you can hear him hosting his show A Shamanic Life, and that airs at 8 p.m. Pacific Time on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. And I believe that John is here with us. Hello, John.
Good morning. Hello.
And I want to remind people that you can always find us or get in touch with us or leave comments, ask questions on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Firefly Willows. You can also hear archives of the show on our website at fireflywillows.com/live. And those are also available as podcasts to download and subscribe to on iTunes. Just do a search for Firefly Willows or Firefly Willows Live, and it'll come right up. So how are you today, John?
Oh, my goodness. I am amazing.
Well, that's good. I have to say, I think that we have amazing weather out where we are today in California.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I had the most, I had a really busy, but a really amazing week this week. And I want to thank everybody who tuned into the debut show of A Shamanic Life on Tuesday night. Wow, that's going to be, I'm really looking forward to that. It is a fun show. We're going to have music. We're going to have musical guests. We're going to, it's a woohoo.
All right, then.
And I would also like to thank everybody who came out to support me in my first ever presentation at East West Bookstore in Mountain View. And for those of you who are in the area, you know that for those of us on the peninsula, East West Bookstore is kind of the ground zero for an awful lot of the metaphysical stuff. So I felt really honored and privileged to speak there. And by golly, the room was full. I was just amazed. So I'm very grateful that for those of you who spread the word and for those of you who came out to join me, it was really wonderful to see everybody.
I'm glad that that went well.
And yesterday I was at the Letha Fair in San Jose, and we had a great time doing readings. So but wait, there's more.
All right, then. Do we get knives? Do we get free knives with this too?
This morning, my daily card from the Osho Zen Tarot was innocence.
Well, and that traditionally that also matches the weather. It's the sun card, so I would encourage you, get out there in the sun.
I'm gonna. I almost set up my rig outside. We have a neighbor who has garden work that starts at 10 in the morning on Sunday, so I thought maybe that wouldn't be a good idea.
That would be true.
Well, that's what's going on for me. How about you?
I had a very good week. I spent last weekend embroiled in the annual event that is PantheaCon in San Jose, which is a big four-day pagan conference. And that was always, as always, was very interesting, fun, social, tiring when you basically don't get home till 3 a.m. every morning and then are back there at 9 in the morning to start it all over again.
Was there a particular speaker or topic that blew your socks off this year?
Well, I will admit that I was busy helping a bit the first couple of days with a presentation on Friday night and then one on Saturday morning, and then my Kemetic temple, the group of people I do Egyptian ritual and things with, we had a hospitality suite Saturday night, so I was also responsible for that. So I had to get that set up and oversee that, plus we were doing a ritual for anyone that wanted to come that evening. But that keeps it interesting, and everything went well with all of those things. And then I went to a couple of different presentations, a ritual to Thoth, Hermes, Mercury, which are the gods in different cultures of communication, also the trickster. So that was actually a really good ritual. It was very interesting. It was done, the person facilitating it, I guess, was Sam Webster, who you may have heard of. But that was really good, and there was a couple of other things I went to that were really good. So, but it was a good weekend overall, as it always is. It's like a little break.
It always is a combination of a party and a serious opportunity to reveal yourself. You know, this community doesn't get a chance to get together and take over an entire hotel very often, you know?
Right. And I find it can be a different experience if you just go for the social aspect and then attend some things on the side, or if you go with a particular intention of something you want to focus on or be working on for yourself, and then going to things specifically with that intention. It can also be very interesting to do that because you are very focused in what you're going into each thing with and then what it offers you or you come out of it with. So if anyone ever goes, I would encourage you to think about that when you're going to go, is if there's a particular intention or area or issue that you want to be particularly focusing on or developing in yourself or something, that think about that ahead of time and then choose the different things you go to really around that, which speaks more largely to our life in general, to perhaps live life with a little bit more of an intention so we know why we're doing things and not just randomly going through life or allowing things to come in that aren't necessarily serving a higher purpose for us, for what we need during a particular moment or time in our life. There you go. There's my lesson for the day. And I will share something. So in that ritual, I will share a teaching that was transmitted to me from Thoth or Jehudi. And Thoth, that's the more common name, is the ibis-headed god from Egypt. And is the god of wisdom, of divination, but also of language. He maintains what's called the Book of Life, which is where everything is recorded for everything that happens in all time and in all existence. But it's like where all of our life would be recorded and all of that.
So he basically writes in the Akashic Records?
Yes. And then that's consulted when you are having your heart weighed to pass into the afterlife and all sorts of stuff. So I'll just say it the way that it was given to me, and then people can make of it what they will. But because he basically is the beginning of language and the word and wisdom and all of that, so the way it came through was, in the beginning was the word, and the word was, is, and ever shall be you, meaning Jehudi. But then it said, every word that is said and every thought that is expressed becomes reality manifest. So grant us the knowledge to know when the words we say and the thoughts we're expressing are manifesting the reality we deserve, and bless us with the wisdom to know the words to say and the thoughts to express to manifest the reality we desire. So when we think about if what we say and what we think and express is what creates our reality, then when we are unsatisfied or unhappy with what our reality is, if we continue to complain about it, talk about it, rehash things from the past, then we are manifesting the reality we deserve, because that's what we keep creating and breathing life into by continuing to use the words or talk about it. Versus if we learn not to talk so much, but choose very carefully what we say, how we say it, and the thoughts that we express, then we become more conscientious and we're very careful to only express those things for what we would desire our reality to be. So if we're constantly using language that is angry, then we can't necessarily wonder why we're surrounded by a lot of angry people or angry situations.
Right. Well, that coincides with the Don Miguel Ruiz, the Toltec wisdom guy who wrote the Four Agreements. And in his book, The Four Agreements, the first agreement is be impeccable with your word.
Right. And it's similar to like in Buddhism where you have right speech.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems very apropos. Because I think that, and it's not only the words we say, but it's also the words and things that we allow to come in.
Right.
Whether it's the people we surround ourselves by and how they tend to talk and the words they use or the way they express things, or whether it's the kinds of media that we take in or, reading things online or just having that constant stream or diet of things coming in is also going to affect and create the reality we live in, because we're going to think that that's the reality of the world because that's all we ever see or read or hear or that kind of thing. So
yeah, it's our diet. If that's your diet, then you are what you eat, as they say.
Right. And here that would be a little bit more metaphorical, but it's like the words, the thoughts, the things that you quote-unquote eat by allowing them to come in to you, to your life, are going to become who you are and also what your world is. So that was what I got from that ritual.
that's great. That's a very powerful wisdom to hold in your heart.
Now, I know we have a number of people online waiting in the queue to get their readings today. I will say Connecticut seems to be very popular today, so a big shout out to Connecticut. We already have three people from Connecticut in the queue for some reason, so maybe they're snowed in and it's like, might as well do something.
What state is Connecticut? What is it? Is it the...
What Connecticut is the state? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, Missouri is the show me state or something, right? What's Connecticut?
Well, I have no idea, but we'll have three different opportunities to ask that question to people. So, shall we jump right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. And the first place we'll be going to is Connecticut. So we're going to be speaking with Susan from Connecticut. Are you there?
I'm here, but I don't know what Connecticut is.
You don't know what your state motto is?
No.
Oh,
that's
right.
Okay.
We'll still work with you.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And next time you're out driving, a lot of times you can just look at a license plate and it'll have it on there.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I was only born here. So,
do you have a question or something that you would like for us to look at today for you?
I would like to see what comes through for me, and then also involving my spirituality that I'm working on. And the energy I came into the other day that brought to me that I should get a money wheel.
Oh, all right. So can you just explain what that is for you, what a money wheel is for you?
Mani, M-A-N-I. It's from the Buddhist. And all I know is that it has a scroll inside it, and it has a long handle, and then the wheel, you spin it.
Yes. So
and
a
you
lot
say
of,
mantras. But
right.
I don't know what it means for me.
So a lot of times that's called a prayer wheel.
Prayer wheel, yes, thank you.
Yeah, and... And the idea behind it, just for people listening, is every time you spin it, it sends your prayer out into the world, out into the universe, kind of a millionfold. So it's very exponential every time you spin it. And so it often is filled with prayers already, which is usually the Om Mani Padme Hum mantra, which is for blessing and protection and prosperity. It's kind of a catch-all kind of mantra. But you can also put your own prayers into it. So every time it spins, it's sending that particular prayer or intention out. Or you can say a prayer or intention when you spin the wheel, and it carries the words of what you say out in that way as well. So they're not hard to find, and they come in many different sizes. So if you were getting that information, I would encourage you to listen to that and follow through on that and pick one up for yourself.
Yeah, just kind of see what comes of it.
Yeah, and they have large ones that can sit like on a table that you spin, or that you can mount on the wall and spin, or they have the smaller ones like that are on a handle and you just hold it in your hand and you spin it as well.
Yeah.
So the cards that I'm getting around all of that, for especially your spirituality and that kind of thing, one, it seems as if there is some either deeply buried pain or something that you've just been carrying around for a long time that it's time to allow to be healed. And part of the power of using a prayer wheel is, and it kind of relates to what we were just talking about a minute ago when it comes to words, is it makes you think about what you want to put out, what intention, what prayer you want to put out there, and how you word those things. And it generates energy for something to shift, to change, or to come into manifestation every time that you do it. But it's that accumulation of energy that is really important. So the spinning helps to generate the energy. The repetition of you saying it helps to generate the energy for it to happen, both within yourself as well as to then happen externally to you if it's something external based. But there seems to be a sense of, if you're willing to go or dig a little deeper and then make the necessary sacrifices, and part of that means surrender to what spirit or your spiritual path seems to be indicating or wanting for you or for you to do at this point. And it may involve some sacrifices, and maybe that sacrifice is just sacrificing some time. Like if it's asking you to start meditating regularly, so you sacrifice 15 minutes a day in the mornings and get up 15 minutes earlier, and that's the sacrifice you make, or whatever. But there may be some sacrifice in some way, but if you're willing to do that, it's going to deepen and open up a whole new level of spirituality or spiritual practice or spiritual connectedness for you. And part of the fear or part of the obstacle may be that even if you've had a sense of where your spiritual practice may want to take you, that the fear is, but what if it completely shakes my world and brings everything crumbling down because it wants such a radical change or upheaval in myself or in my life? And this is asking you to let go of that fear and allow for some of that crumbling, if you will, because we can just become a little too comfortable or complacent where we're at. And it's time to move to the next stage or the next level for you. And so we don't want you to step away from what is necessary to make that kind of a shift or to take that step simply because it might involve a little bit of sacrifice, or you may feel as if you have to give yourself over to allowing it to happen.
That's what's holding me back, is the allowing.
Right. And, you know, the nice thing is that the Ace of Cups comes up here, the one of water, which in the deck I'm using, the Tarot of the Spirit, is called Open Channel. And that says, it's in the position of the short term. So it says, fairly quickly, once you start doing that, you would feel as if things are starting to just flow in more, things are starting to just kind of happen. And I think that that fear of things getting shaken to their core is not going to be nearly so dramatic or painful versus feeling as if we just stepped into some swift flowing water. And while things are moving quickly, it's not like it's uncomfortable. It's just moving along very quickly because we've opened up the dam. We've opened up the channel for things to start happening. So if you think of open channel, it can be saying over the next couple of months, really focus on tuning in to what your intuition is telling you, to really making that connection with that deeper current of spirituality in you, and allowing, it's kind of like relaxing the inner tube and allow it to take you in the direction it wants you to go rather than you trying to swim or go in a direction you think you should go. The One of Water coming up could say that a lot of this has to do with a burgeoning intuitive side or a psychic side of yourself. So it's time to start cultivating and developing and allowing your intuitive side or psychic side to come out. And whether that means, you know, doing actual psychic work or medium work, or whether that's doing healing, energy healing work or divination work, but that seems to be bubbling right under the surface and wants to start flowing up and out of you if you just will open up to allowing it and cultivating it, which may mean taking some workshops or reading or learning more about it so that you can understand how to work with it rather than to shy away from it because you're afraid of, I don't know what to do with it, or what if it overwhelms me, or what if it's too much. Or sometimes people get afraid because they're like, well, I don't know how I would tell somebody that information because that's not very good. And cultivating that would be something that would be really, really beneficial. And so I will leave it there for the moment and allow John to jump in to see what he is getting.
So I did just a very delicate rune cast for you, and I got the rune Uruz, which talks to great power and strength. So when I see the rune Uruz, I think of the earth or the mountain. Now, some folks would interpret this rune to mean the aurochs, which is was the first domesticated kind of cattle, right? Beast of burden, and the idea of taming such great power is, you know, that was a really difficult thing to do back when we were first learning how to domesticate animals. So this rune speaks to a couple of things in your situation. The first is there's great power waiting at your disposal within your capacity, within your container that is available for you to lean into. So as you go through this process, you can trust that you will not be powerless. In fact, your power will be increasing. The other thing that I want to guide you to is, you know, as you go into a situation like this where it's a little scary, right? And there's unknown. The one thing that you can always trust is the earth. You are a child of the earth. Everything that you are, you know, all of your physicality, all of the things where it makes sense to have fear or concern, they're all earthbound things. So you know that you're always home because you're here on earth. And the way to allow yourself to feel that sense of safety and comfort is to get in touch with the planet. That can be something very simple, like gardening, right? Do you have a little space where you can garden, or do you garden at all?
No, I don't garden, but for me, I think it's just doing certain steps that are coming through to me, too. Like, it's almost like tapping my feet.
Tapping your feet?
Yeah, to the ground.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, stick your feet in the mud, you know? It's going to be springtime pretty soon. Get your feet in the dirt, or go to the beach, and you know, the beach, because that's a place where there's both the water and the sand.
Yeah.
And allow yourself to be in contact with the planet And all the things that are opening up for you will feel more natural, and the surprises that might emerge will be less frightening and easier to integrate into your way of being. Stay connected to Mother Earth, and it'll be way easier and less scary.
Okay.
And I would also encourage, because of that Ace of Water, especially being someplace where there's water, and putting your feet in water, whether it's the beach, but I would especially encourage running water of some sort. So water in motion rather than still water like a lake. So a river, the ocean, where the waves are coming in and out and that kind of thing. That would be extremely beneficial for you as well. And a little technique you can use is if you're at a, either at a river or at the ocean, let's say you're at a river, stand on the side of the river, pick up a rock, take a Sharpie or something with you, pick up a rock and write on that rock what your intention is of what you would like to see starting to flow into your life.
Okay.
And pick up another rock and write what it is when you talked about how you had that fear or that block of allowing some things to happen, or maybe it's things that you've carried around that you need to finally release that have gotten in the way. On the second rock, write down what that is. And then step into the water and face the direction that the water is flowing away from you, and throw the rock that you wrote what you need to release. Because that way, so basically you're standing so the water is coming from behind you and flowing forward in front of you. Throw that rock of what you want to release into that water, because that water then is carrying that away. If you're at the ocean, then you would throw it when the wave is going out so that the water is carrying it back away from you.
Okay.
Then you would turn around, like let's say in the river. So now you're facing the direction the water is coming from, and you would throw the rock that has what you want to see flowing into you or into your life into the water, because that way it now is flowing that or bringing that to you.
Okay, so as the water is coming in, okay.
Right, and if you're at the ocean, then you would do it as the wave is coming in, because that way it would be bringing it in.
Wow, neat.
Yeah, so that would just be a nice way for you both to do what John was talking about, which is being with the earth and your feet in the earth and in the natural elements, and then a little technique for you to start thinking about and also physically feeling that sense of both sending away what maybe has been blocking you, and then opening up that channel to allow what is wanting to come in to start flowing in, so that you can start receiving it as well as taking action to work with it.
Okay.
All right.
This one thought came to me almost immediately. And I see your discussion, your description of the exercise in the river makes me want to share it. The river is flowing as water does, but it's in the riverbed. It's cradled by the earth. So all of these changes that are likely to flow into your life are cradled by the environment of the mother, the earth, that you are in. So if you take refuge in the earth, if you take comfort in the presence of the earth, you will be able to accommodate these changes as they flow.
Okay. Boy, that was a good reading. Wow.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Both of you. That was just so right on.
Well, thank you for taking a little time out of your Sunday to call in and listen to the show, and we appreciate being able to offer it.
And I wrote everything down.
All right. Great.
All right.
Said that, I'm just going to remind you and everyone that's listening, you can always go back to the archives of the show here on Blog Talk or on our website or at iTunes and hear the show after it's aired any time in the future. So if you didn't write down notes or wanted to hear the reading again or whatever, you can always go and listen to it there as well. So thank you very much, Susan, for calling in today.
And thank you. It was great.
Have a great Sunday.
You too.
So from Connecticut, we're now going to pop over to Los Angeles And down in Los Angeles, we have Vince. Are you there, Vince?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Vince.
Do you have something in particular that you'd like to ask us about for your reading?
Yeah, I wanted to see what you get as far as letting go.
So are you looking for a job, or how your current job is going, or wanting to change jobs?
No, I've been out of work for quite some time, and money is running out. I've got no income, and I'm looking for a job. I went for a job review last Friday. I thought it was They emailed me yesterday or Friday, and they said that they went with somebody else. And I went for a job interview about 2 weeks ago, but it's like an hour and a half drive from where I live. And so I just can't seem to find work. It's been, 5 years of struggling.
Preferred work domain? What do you like to do?
Well, I've always been in the manufacturing industry, I'm looking for work right now so I can pay my bills and stuff, but my main goal is I'm working on my acting. I have a photo shoot coming up for new pictures in about 2 weeks. And my agent said once he gets the new pics that he wants, then he can start sending me out on a lot of stuff. He's got a lot of work for me, but it's just he can't do anything until I get new pics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that does come through. But, so I'm into the acting and the writing, but right now I need a regular steady job,
Right.
To bring some income.
Okay.
Okay.
There's one other thing about the job thing. Back in October, I was offered a position at a company that makes organic milk and juices. And then 3 days later, after doing two interviews and everything, she called me and she offered me a job. And then 3 days later, she said, because I refused to cut my hair, they won't hire me. And meanwhile, they have women that work there with long hair. So I filed a complaint with the Fair Housing and Employment, and if you can see if I'm going to get any compensation from that, see what you can see of that as well.
Mm. The first thing I would say that I see here is I wouldn't necessarily count on something really coming from that.
Okay.
I have to say that the first card that came up is the Devil card.
Mm-hmm.
And that often can indicate when we are either, we may be overly limiting ourselves, because the Devil card often indicates when we are living according to shoulds and supposed tos that probably have been somehow imposed or imprinted on us from the outside. So I would encourage you to start broadening your thought process of who you see yourself as and what you see yourself doing and able to do.
Okay.
And not to either limit it or to do things that other people, for whatever reason, have said they think that you should do or that you're supposed to do. Now, one thing may be that on a simple sense, I would say that one thing that's being indicated by the rest of the cards here is looking at places that are like startup companies or small, non-institutional based, so things that are not overly big or maybe haven't been around for a long time but have that energy of, they're going to ask a lot of people that work there, but they also have a certain energy that excites and challenges people that work there because things are new, things are fresh, they're really excited about creating something or doing something. So those kinds of places seem to be a bit more indicated and would probably be a bit more fruitful for you. And you may also start thinking about how you could create your own work by either starting your own business, doing your own thing, rather than just looking for something to work for somebody else. And maybe that's as a freelancer or a contractor rather than getting hired as an employee someplace. But there seems to be a lot here that wants to kind of open you up or for you to see that you may be able to create greater opportunity and freedom for yourself if you stop looking to somebody else to provide the opportunity for you. And that doesn't mean that you wouldn't necessarily be working with somebody else or even for somebody else, but you would have a very kind of independent contractor or autonomous kind of position with them rather than just being kind of stuck as what we might think of as a regular employee. And in terms of timing, I would actually see things. It may take a couple of more months, but like one thing here is after Taurus, and Taurus is like April 20th to May 20th. So that seems to be, May seems to be a key period that's indicated here as to when things may open up or opportunities may come. Or if you started doing something now to say do your own thing, that you may see that it's starting to take shape and really move forward by May, if you're starting now. Because the last card is actually kind of encouraging, because we have it's Father Fire, the King of Wands card. That would show us that by summer, you would likely be in something that is a bit more stable, or you would probably be in something by summer, which probably will either start or that you either will find out about or it will start to develop and they would have you start towards that May, end of May time period. But part of that happening is going to be because you open yourself up to other things that may be in areas that you would think you're not supposed to work in or that you shouldn't work in. But if you give them a chance, you may find that they're much more fruitful for you than what you might have thought they would be. I will admit that the first thing that came up with the Devil card coming up and that idea is because you said you're an actor, and so it would be like either working in, well, it'll sound funny to say it, but well, it would be like work. This is a very traditional way of looking at the Devil card, but it would be like working in the adult video industry in some way or something related to that, where we think, oh, I shouldn't do that because, or I'm not supposed to work in that kind of area or whatever. But that's just an example where it's an area that we often will avoid, even though there may be opportunity there. And if we can let go of some of our taboos around certain things, we may find that there's opportunities that could be very fruitful for us.
Well, you know, there was a time that, you know, if you got into the adult industry that you'd be frowned upon. But now it's like all these stars who are in the adult industry are getting mainstream stuff, too.
Right.
And there's a lot of them out there that are doing mainstream stuff. There's one guy who was in the movie. It was a big hit movie, Jesus Christ Superstar, back in the 70s, who's still, what is his name? I think it's Peter Thomas. He's an amazing singer. He's got an amazing voice, and yet he's one of the biggest porn stars in the industry. And then you look at Ron Jeremy. He's done Nash Bridges. He's done a couple of movies. He did this one movie with Brendan Fraser called Stoned Ages, which is absolutely hilarious.
Right. So just start thinking outside the box and don't limit yourself because of what you think other people might think or what other people may judge as something you shouldn't do, versus allow yourself to determine that and explore those opportunities. And I think you'll find that there's some very interesting opportunities that will come up even within the next few months that will at least help you to have some sort of an income. and may even connect you with other people or other things that would open up further opportunities for you. So, John?
Well, I would say I would echo a lot of what High C shared based on the cards that I've drawn for you. It seems like you've been banging your head against the wall, because no doubt in part because of circumstances, but also because you've been looking in the wrong place. So you've been fighting the good fight, but you've been fighting on the wrong battlefront.
Okay.
The suggestion, the Sun card came up for you right in the middle, which would tell me that you should relax into your joy. Now, it's difficult when you're trying to pay your bills and when you're trying to live in the world and so on and so forth, but it's essential that you connect with the childlike aspect of yourself that can see and experience the joy of living. So, you know, when you're down in the dumps, when you're feeling crummy because you can't seem to get a job and you can't seem to pay your bills and you're not following your bliss and all that kind of stuff, that is a recipe for more of the same. So if there's something that you can do that you really enjoy doing, that you can give yourself to, it might be, you know, going to an improv night. It might be, juggling on the beach. It might be who knows what, right? But go give yourself the opportunity to play. Go play somewhere and get into the practice of insisting that you have some block of time that you devote to play every day. An hour, 25 minutes, whatever you can carve out. And if you're not working, there's probably time that you can do that you can make available for this. And just make sure that you're in a place where you can be completely creative and unabashed and fill yourself with the delight of play in something that you enjoy. And that will unblock your magic.
Okay.
The magician reversed is what is begging to be turned upright, and the key is play.
And I think the way that ties into the things I was seeing as well, I want you to get out there and get involved, like John said, either with an improv group or start doing things with some independent movie makers and things. It may not be things that pay for the acting, so it's not that you're doing this instead of getting a job or whatever. But a lot of times those things are done like over a weekend, or on evenings, whether it's like student productions or independent film. I mean, you're in LA, so it's not going to be hard to find things.
Right.
But it's something that allows you to be constantly practicing your craft, to be connecting with other people and networking. And you may be in projects that you wouldn't normally have thought of. And don't listen to your agent if they're like, oh, no, don't get involved in a project like that. Trust your own instinct. And if it sounds like something interesting, challenging, fun, or it's going to stretch you in some way, you know, then do it. It's like when an agent would say, oh, don't take that kind of part because you'll get stereotyped for the rest of your career or whatever. This would say stop worrying about that and just do those things, because it allows you to continue to stimulate the joy John was talking about, rather than feeling as if you're lacking the joy of doing the acting because you're so focused on finding a job.
Okay.
Or even finding a job, right? Even if it's down the path of you know, finding work that is not in the performing arts, just go have fun with something. Go have fun. Go have fun at a soup kitchen. Go have fun at a wildlife rehab place. Go have fun cleaning up the highway. Just whatever it is you do, go have fun. If you're in Hollywood, you have to know that your charisma is an essential part of your capacity for success. And if you are in a place that is generating joy inside of you, you will light up like a beacon. And that you don't have to get paid, for that, you know, for that part. That's sort of self-nurturing that will empower you to shine brightly. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Are you feeling like that's something that you can't, that's achievable for you?
Yeah, because I mean, I love improv and I love doing stand-up comedy. It's just having to try and fight for a spot on stage. Like, I used to, on Sunday nights, I used to go to the Comedy Store because they have Sunday and Monday nights, they have sign-up. But they only take the 15 people, and they take people at random. It's just not like it doesn't go by first come, first sign up, first get on stage. They just pick people at random, and I've gone there a dozen times, and I've never gotten on stage.
Right. Okay. So here's this is a perfect example of the kind of thing that Heisty was talking about, where you're allowing yourself to be dependent upon other people's circumstances, right? The whole idea that you have to go sign up and fight for a spot on stage, it puts you at the whim of circumstances that are not, that you can't do anything about. So that's the kind of battle that's the kind of battlefront that I'm talking about. It's like you can do that from now until the cows come home. And it might not be the right place to fight, right? Sun Tzu, in The Art of War, says to attack perfectly, attack where there is no defense. To defend perfectly, defend where there is no attack. Now, those are idealized circumstances, but you get the point that if you want to perform, if that's what brings you joy, then perform where there's no competition, because then you'll get to perform, even if you're just performing for yourself, right? I mean, I know that sounds silly, but give yourself the opportunity where there's no way you can be prevented from giving yourself that opportunity. You know what? Go volunteer at a soup kitchen and tell jokes in line. See if you can get everybody to laugh. There's nobody signing up there to make sure that, you know, there's nobody competing for that stage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can also give yourself, you know, with silly childlike abandon, because nobody's expecting anything from you there.
Okay.
And don't just limit yourself, because the way it sounded is if you keep going back to this same one place over and over again, and the devil card would say, well, then stop limiting yourself and go to other places. You know, I'm sure it's not the only place that has like an open night that you can do. So go to other places, and you may find that out by networking with other people. Like if you go and do a little weekend work on a indie film, they may know of some place that has a stand-up night, you know, open mic night that you didn't know about. So if one place isn't working, don't just keep hitting your head against the wall at that one place. Go to other places rather than limiting yourself in some way. So hopefully this has helped a little bit. And thank you very much for having called in today and listened. And we'll look forward to seeing your name pop up on the next Hollywood blockbuster that's coming out in the fall.
I hope so.
All right, Vince, keep in touch, man. Let us know how it goes.
All right.
So I think we'll take a quick little break, and then we will come back, and the person that we'll talk to first will be Kimberly in South Carolina, I believe, is where she was calling from. So, Kimberly, be ready. And we will be back in just a minute. Thank you.
Life comes at you pretty fast, and you're doing the best you can. But maybe you could use a little help. Are you looking for answers or feeling a little stuck? Something nagging you that you and your doctor can't quite explain? Or maybe you're looking to enhance your game or improve your performance at work. Consider a visit with John Carosella at The Shamanist. Whether you need a little guidance or even a little miracle, John can help. Visit in person or connect by phone or Skype. Schedule a rune, oracle, or tarot reading. Experience a shamanic counseling session or a Reju Keto or shamanic healing session for body and soul. Experience more of your world and yourself. The sky's the limit when you tap into the realities that are just beyond our sight. Mention this ad and receive a special gift when you book your first session with John. For a little help, or maybe a little miracle, theshamanist.com.
And we are back, and we are going to go to our next caller, who is Kimberly, and I believe Kimberly is calling from South Carolina. Is that correct, Kimberly?
That is correct.
All right. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And what is it that you would like to ask about or have us do a reading for you on today?
Yeah, I would like a reading on my life path. Presently, I teach middle school, and I would like to do something other than to teach middle school. I guess if I'm supposed to stay in education, and then how is this life path going to affect my son, because we've moved around a lot.
Okay.
Well, okay. So, hi, see, I've got a rune cast here for Kimberly. And the reason I was chuckling is because featured prominently is the rune it's actually the symbol of the horse, which, if you can imagine, way back in the day, the horse signified movement, motion, travel. So it looks like what we have here is we have an indication that some kind of partnership is important, and that could be a partnership. It could be like a romantic relationship partnership, or it could be a partnership in your career partner, like somebody that you're going to engage in a longer term project with, or something like that, right? And there's two aspects to this rune of partnership. There's the partnership part, which indicates cooperative endeavor, and there's a gift part of it, which is to say that when you work in partnership with someone, you receive you receive gifts from the other person. And of course, if it's a balanced partnership, you're also contributing your gifts into that partnership. So there's the idea of a teamwork kind of thing with a partner that will produce significant upside, significant gifts, right? And to be aware and attuned to the opportunity for such a partnership to emerge and for those gifts to be presented. The next rune then is the rune of movement, which would indicate that some kind of new vista or new location is going to be involved. So that would suggest that it might literally be that you are going to continue to move around, or it might mean that you're just going to move around career-wise into, you're going to move into a different industry. That could be movement as well. And then we have the rune of divine communication. So, and this is centered in the reading. So it suggests that what's very important is for you to develop your listening skills and your prayer skills. So in order for you to really capture the positive capacities that you're asking for, in terms of your life, your direction in life, you have to get you have to make communion with the divine, communication with the divine, a high priority. Listening carefully, being ready to be in harmony with what is with the divine. And that's followed by the rune of messages and communication. So it sounds like we're looking for you to tune up those divine communication skills, because there are messages that are waiting to be delivered to you that you are currently unable to receive. And then there's the final two runes here. One is the rune of protection, which is not it's not like putting a shield on. It's actually almost the opposite. It's the rune of, you know, how do we protect ourselves? We protect ourselves best by being so sensitive to our environment that we understand where danger is and where discomfort, and from where discomfort arises. So this is, again, talking to increasing your sensitivity and being aware on many, many channels, many, many ways of perceiving. So this is calling you to really wake up to all the different ways that you can receive information from the world and from spirit. And finally, the rune of birth or rebirth, which would suggest that in at the end of this process of retuning yourself or enhancing your tuning, you will have the opportunity to be reborn into your new destiny, or into the destiny that's waiting for you.
Okay.
Thoughts, Kimberly? Kimberly, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm here. Excuse me. I'm there. Yes, I understand. I understand everything.
Okay. All right. Great. So what I, based on the cards that I'm getting, I also would say that there seems to be an indication that you're nearing the point of making a shift or a change. I don't think it's away from working with children, because you said you are in middle school at this point, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I would actually anticipate that either you are going to go in a direction of working with slightly younger children, and there may be an aspect, one of the cards here, Six of Water, in this deck is called Faith. There may be an aspect of working someplace that is a little more, it'd be like working at a faith-based school or something like that, that may have that kind of aspect to it. Whatever spiritual path or tradition, you know, that you may feel called to or be a part of, and working someplace that is directly connected with that as a school. There may also be an aspect here that you would start working with slightly more either challenged or troubled children, or that come from very challenged or troubled homes or backgrounds. Even that may have, there may be an aspect of working with children that somehow are dealing with some sort of maybe a learning disability, but this would be more kind of like mental illness, which is a very broad term, I realize. And so it could be working in like a special education kind of area, or specifically working with children who maybe have some level of autism, so they can't quite be successful in the regular school programs, but need a slightly different kind of thing. I would also say someplace that maybe has smaller class sizes, so that there's a more of an opportunity to do a little bit more personal one-on-one work with the people that you're working with, rather than just teaching to a large classroom of people, but not having the opportunity to be able to, or the resources to be able to be a little bit more individual or one-on-one with them. I would especially encourage you to pay attention. I'll give it a broader range and then a more specific range. The next 1 to 3 months, there seems to be an offer or something coming to you. So really pay attention to opportunities or things that get suggested or offered to you in the next 1 to 3 months, and especially around the 6th week of spring, which would be around the end of April, beginning of May. That seems to be a very key time. Another aspect that the card I'm referring to here may indicate is if you start looking for something that is more in the direction of what it is I was just describing and John was talking about, then you will probably find that it will happen fairly quickly. It won't take very long to find it and to receive an offer. I would say within 6 months you will have identified it, applied for it, and received an offer for it. Now, if we take that 6 months into account, then it could be start now because it would be something that could start at the beginning of the next school year, which is roughly 6 months away, if you just think of like September as being the beginning of the school year.
Right.
The I Ching cards that came up say that where you're at right now is in hexagram 55, which is abundance, which means this is a really key time where you have a lot of resources available to you. But that can also just mean your personal resources, like the experience you have, the work you've already been doing, et cetera, is very rich or fertile for you to be able to draw on and will really serve for you to be able to find and successfully get a position someplace else. And then the way the I Ching usually works is we have one hexagram for the present and then it changes. So we look at where is the outcome or the future, where is this changing to? And where this is changing to is hexagram 63, which is called completion, which is kind of like crossing the finish line. So I would look at that in two ways. One, you're nearing the completion of this particular phase of your work life or life path life. And it's time for a shift rather than to just keep repeating or staying in. It's kind of like if you've crossed the finish line, then start thinking about the next marathon rather than going back to the start line and run this same marathon again. but it also says that you will be able to successfully complete or bring about what it is that you set out to do. The fact that this is here says that's what's waiting, that finish line is waiting for you. So you're at the starting gate at this moment. It's time to hear it's like you're hearing the gun go off, which is even the thought of making a change or doing something, taking some sort of action. And it's time to take off from the starting gate now. And that means if you do that, then you're likely to cross that finish line or see the completion of that. And I would go back to probably within 6 months of when you start. And there may be significant opportunities, especially in the next couple of months, that would indicate where you can start running that race towards the finish line of. But I would focus on having something or looking for something that allows you to kind of be starting in it in the next school year, so next fall, as kind of when you would be moving into that next phase or that new focus that you'd be taking.
Okay.
And Kimberly, can you share with me what do you see as your like primary gifts and talents?
I think I have a gift of empowerment, motivation, seeing past surface things, and really empowering children, empowering girls, women. Just a gift of giving people the truth.
Mm. So I would encourage you to focus on young girls.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Six of Water comes up, can often indicate like childhood or the past or nostalgia. Think about how you can pass on what you received. So if you think about what in your past helped to gift you or open up those things you just described about yourself, that ability to see past the surface, to speak the truth, to empower others. What is it that instilled that in you? And use that as a model or kind of as an indicator of what direction or how you can focus what you now have in your own arsenal of or abundance of talents and skills. And start focusing that same kind of way or towards that same kind of child or girl or that kind of thing. Because what you received in the past is what you're now ready to start passing on, and it's going to inform the direction that you start to go and the kind of people that you start to work with.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Excellent. Good luck, Kimberly.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was very enlightening.
Well, thank you very much for listening and for calling in, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So now we're going to jump back to Connecticut, and we're going to speak with Shantae. And are you there, Shantae?
Yes.
Well, welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. And do you have something in particular you'd like to ask us about?
Yes. I just started talking to a guy, and I wanted...
I'm sorry, Shantae, just one moment. Hi, C. Please don't shuffle, because when you shuffle, I can't hear. Shantae, go ahead.
I just started talking to a guy, and I was just wondering if I could get more insight on him.
Okay. All right, Hasi, you can shuffle. Are you there, Heisey?
I am.
Ah, okay.
And the cards that came up are actually, they're very nice cards regarding this person and this relationship potential, if you will. The one thing that I would say is I want you to use some good judgment and discernment about how quickly things may be developing, and whether both of you are ready for what the kind of relationship you may be looking for. Because the card that came up for him is, it's called Sister Water.
Uh-huh.
That would indicate someone who is open to a relationship, but is also, sister is kind of like the child card. So it's someone who may be a little bit emotionally inexperienced or immature, and
mm-hmm.
therefore you may find yourself in the role of the relationship card that came up, which is Father Water, which is a nice card to get for a relationship, but it can also indicate that you may be in a position of teaching someone how to be in a relationship. So it's almost as if they're an emotional child. You may have a little bit more emotional maturity or experience, and now you're kind of helping to mentor and bring them along to help them grow up emotionally by being in relationship with them. That's not necessarily a bad thing. It's more a question of you have to determine whether you're comfortable being in that role, and if that's something that you're willing to do and have the patience to foster, and also the patience to weather some of the little storms and upsets or slownesses that comes from that emotional immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's something you would be willing to take on?
Actually, when I'm thinking about it, it kind of sounds like I'll be learning about myself also in the process.
Well, yes, that is true, because the card that came up for you, the judgment card, is a card of like awakening, or in one deck I have it's called Beyond Illusion. So it's the ability to rise above where I'm at and start to see a greater truth, a greater reality, a greater awareness for who you are, for what you want or need from a relationship, and that kind of thing. And some of that may come from seeing someone who's in a less mature place than you, and some,
mm-hmm.
and that can trigger for us. It's like, oh, I remember when I used to be like that, or feel like that, or act that way, and I know how I was able to grow beyond that. It may be that you're helping that person as a result, because you know how you were able to grow beyond that, and you can offer that to them, but it also may show you, I'm ready for something else or something more, and I wouldn't have known that if I wasn't with someone like this, so I'm grateful that that person came along, but that may not be the right relationship for me at this point, because I need someone who is closer to the stage or where you're at. So I think that there will be a lot that comes from being in relationship, whether short-term or long-term, with this person that, like you said, will be much more of a awakening and a bringing of an awareness to yourself of where you're at, how far you've come, what you're looking for, what you need, what you want in a relationship that maybe you hadn't realized prior to this, just because you hadn't been challenged by somebody on whether they were offering that or not offering that, and you are now realizing that's what it is that you're wanting. But you know, with the I Ching cards that come up, you know, the first card that came up is the Well. It's hexagram 48, which is like, it's saying kind of dive into this, because there are greater depths to experience and explore, and it will also allow you to uncover greater depths of yourself through being in some sort of relationship with this person.
I would concur almost exactly with what I see sharing with you based on the cards that I drew. It looks like this is a relationship that will be very educational for you, if you are willing to see it in that way. It doesn't necessarily indicate that it's going to be smooth, but in a sense that it will be illuminating for you, it will be fruitful. And the two things that I would caution you about is to not try to establish the relationship in a way that depends upon things being tightly controlled, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to control this relationship seems to be, you know, not indicated. So you really need to think about how you can have mastery of yourself in this relationship, as opposed to trying to control the whole thing. Just make sure that you know what you're doing and allow it to flow, so that you're not frustrated by the fact that it's not going the way you want it to. And, you know, of course, at some point, if it's not going the way you want it to go, you have the freedom, and you should retain the choice, that freedom to leave the relationship, right? So don't try to control it, but be aware of where it's taking you and decide whether that's where you want to go.
Okay.
And the other piece is that, you know, at some point it may seem like somebody needs to be healed in this relationship, and that might be you and it might be him, but the indication is that the relationship is not the place where that healing is going to happen. It may be the place where the understanding the nature of the wounds can be discovered, but maybe not, you know, don't count on him to heal you, and don't expect yourself to be able to heal him.
Okay.
You can enjoy the relationship. You can enjoy what you learn from the relationship. You can use it as a place of great discovery, and that'll be good for you. But don't try to control it, and don't expect to be healed or to be the healer in it.
Okay,
so that's what I got for you.
So hopefully that helps a little bit, Shante.
Yeah, it helps. Excellent. A lot, actually.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
Good luck. And enjoy your Sunday.
You too.
Sorry about my abrupt interjection there, Heisi.
It's okay. I forgot to punch the little mute button when I started shuffling.
Okay.
So let's see. Why don't we go to area code? Where do we want to go here? Area code 831.
Hello, area Santa Cruz.
Hello, area code 831. Are you there?
Yes.
Can I ask your name and where you're calling from?
This is Robin, and I'm calling from Santa Cruz.
Why, hello, Robin. Thank you for listening and calling in.
Sneaking in like that under the wire. How delightful.
Well, I thought I would just check in with you and John, Heisi. So I have a question, since I'm always doing readings and I never seem to get answers myself.
Well, it can be hard when we're asking for ourselves, like, well, that's not what I want to hear. Surely you have something else to tell me. So what would you like to ask?
Yeah, well, I have a question about relationships. One of the common things that we always ask about, right? And I'm trying to mute my computer here There we go. I would like to see if there's a relationship in the offing, because I would be interested in being in one. And I'm also wanting one that's not going to limit me.
So you're not asking for much.
No. Freedom in a relationship.
Okay.
Freedom in a positive way, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know.
So the first thing that I have coming up actually indicates that right now is a good time to be playing the field. So instead of looking for the one or a particular relationship, cultivate multiple relationships with different people that offer you different aspects or different things that you're needing right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you may have one person that you're dating that gives you amazing conversation, and there may be one person who is really involved in spiritual things that you happen to be involved in, and there may be one person who's just more of a physical relationship. But there's a strong indication here that it's not a very auspicious time to be trying to latch onto the one, but it's an extremely prosperous and beneficial time to have many in your life at once. And some of that may be how you start to identify and come to an understanding of what would make the whole. But you may also find that you end up coming to maybe not moving into like, oh, now I'm just going to do polyamory, but maybe understanding that not limiting yourself, which goes back to understanding what freedom may actually be for you, not limiting yourself to just one person or one relationship may be how you kind of just operate for a while. And, you know, I would encourage you to either find people that are revolutionary in some way, which means people that go against the grain, people that tend to not conform or do things in the normal way, well, quote unquote normal.
Whatever that is.
You know, like in a very kind of mundane way of describing that, because this is the reversed Hierophant card, it would be someone who is perhaps they tend to work in startups or small companies, or they do a number of different things, or they move from thing to thing, or they're involved in some kind of work that is revolutionary in some way, which is overthrowing the old way of doing something and finding a whole new way to do it, rather than being a part of or fitting into the standard structure or system, which also is going to challenge you perhaps to take yourself to places and environments and situations and activities that are also around some of that. So thinking of what's been happening in the past couple of years, this would be like saying, okay, then go get involved with the Occupy movement, because you're likely to meet people there that are going to be more in alignment with who would be the right kind of people to be in relationship with for you on a personal level as well, rather than, you know, meeting people at the office or something.
Right.
And also, you know, Father Earth comes up reversed, which is King of Pentacles reversed. And there's that sense of somebody who is not really, and I know this is what a lot of people would probably freak out about, but it's saying it's somebody who is not overly settled. They may be in a period of transition. They may be someone who doesn't feel they have to just fit into one box or one label. So they have many things going on, or they don't just do the same thing for 30 years, like when it comes to work or something like that. So you may also look for people who tend to be a bit more of either like a journeyman or a nomad, or somebody who just doesn't see the necessity for putting down roots in one place versus allowing themselves to have the freedom to continue growing and moving and that kind of thing. But ultimately the Six of Water comes up, and this is in the long term, however, and Six of Water can be a card that indicates being offered something. Now, Six of Water can indicate somebody from our past coming back in.
So there may be some person that we had in our past that comes back into our life that we end up developing a relationship with because now we're both ready, or now's the right time, or, you know, whatever. Could indicate that it may end up being somebody younger than you, which also is going to challenge, maybe be part of that revolutionary approach, which is you revolutionizing yourself, which is not getting stuck in, oh, I can only, you know, I'm only open to people that are my age, or, you know, whatever. This would encourage you to be open and receptive to that. And it may end up being someone that you have something to offer or teach, or that they're able to teach you. Six of Water can also just be the idea, not just of age difference, but it's this idea of unequal relationship, which is just like mentor-student.
Mm-hmm.
So it may also be someone that either you have somehow mentored or is a student in things that you may have an advanced knowledge of. And it doesn't mean that you have to be teaching them necessarily, but they just may not be at the same place that you are. It's like if you follow, you know, if you've been following a shamanistic path for 30 years, they may have just started out 5 years ago on a shamanistic path. And so there's kind of that inequality, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, because that actually can stimulate beginner's mind and new perspectives that maybe you've forgotten or whatever. And it could be the flip of that as well. It could be something that you're relatively new to, and then the person you end up in relationship with is much further along, or has been in it much longer than you have. But this is further down the line, because it's in the long-term position. So it's not saying look for that right now. Versus
yeah.
That's probably what will develop, but right now is more of a playing the field kind of idea.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
but put yourself out there in situations and around people and in activities that may seem kind of revolutionary,
mm-hmm.
or are going, you know, either going against the grain or overthrowing the old system, or questioning authority, and all of those kind of things really fall into that reversed hero font card.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's helpful.
So,
and
John,
and I'm going to leave that with High C, because
okay.
I'm getting confusing messages on my side. So that would suggest to me that I'm not the appropriate person to give you a reading on this.
Okay.
That doesn't mean I'm hiding anything. It just means that, you know, it's High C's giving you the straight story, and I don't need to get involved. I'm encouraged not to get involved according to the cards.
Oh, it just reminds us that my word is the end all be all.
I hesitated to say that on the air.
But you see.
Well, I appreciate the feedback. I appreciate it a lot. And,
well, hopefully it helped a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's what I'm doing. So, I mean, basically, it's what I'm doing, and just enjoying people and seeing where it goes, and not sweating the big picture too much. Just making, you know, I'm a, you know, interested in poetry and things that are speaking truth to power. So that goes right along with what I'm about anyway. So.
And based what came up, I would say concentrate on water signs, and maybe avoid earth signs.
Okay.
That could be a very general way of looking at the way the cards came up elementally.
Mm-hmm.
And that the emphasis or focus on starting to find more of a primary relationship, if you decide to go that direction, probably wouldn't even come until after fall. So I wouldn't even think about it till the end of this year or the beginning of next year to start making that more of an emphasis or priority for you.
Okay. That sounds great.
All right.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks, Robin, for calling in.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So I think we'll take a quick little break, and then we will be right back. And we'll be going to area code 484. So if you're calling from area code 484, be prepared, because we'll be coming to you in just a minute.
Firefly Willows LIVE is proud to support the Wildlife Center of Silicon Valley, a nonprofit rehabilitation, release, and educational facility. Established in 1993, WCSV serves the citizens and wildlife of Santa Clara County communities from Mountain View to Morgan Hill. Through educational programs, the WCSV fosters a positive coexistence between the general public and wildlife and encourages an interest in and concern for wildlife conservation issues. With approximately 120 dedicated volunteers, WCSV cares for over 4,000 birds and mammals from over 150 species each year. Find them at www.wcsv.org and on their Facebook page, Wildlife Center of Silicon Valley, WCSVN. Donations to support the animals may be made by clicking the Donate Now button at the top right corner of their website. Further information on volunteering and support may be found under How to Help in the menu bar. This tip of the week from the Wildlife Center of Silicon Valley. Tree trimming during the spring and summer nesting seasons is a major threat to the incredible bird species that call this area home. Many birds, like hummingbirds, who build incredibly tiny nests, work hard to keep their nests hidden and sheltered. Waiting until fall to trim your trees can help save the lives of countless birds. Remember, when in doubt, wait it out.
And we are back, and we're going to go right to our next caller, who's calling from area code 484. Are you there, caller? Hello.
I am here.
So what is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Anastasia. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Do you have a particular question that you'd like us to look at today?
I kind of do, but I don't want to give you too much information because sometimes when you give too much information, it kind of ruins the reading. So I really don't know how to ask my question without ruining the question or the reading.
So
if that makes any sense.
What topic is it on? Is it about relationships, career?
It's about love, and it also involves someone possibly maybe living here. I'm not sure.
So it's a question about a particular relationship situation.
Yep, and if they're going to be staying here, coming here, having a problem and having to come here.
Okay.
Do you need this person's initials or name or?
Nope, that's all I need.
Okay.
So I'm fine to go from that.
Okay.
So I would be hesitant, think of it this way, I would be hesitant for you to give them the keys to the car, to let them drive. I don't want you to relinquish your ability to drive the situation or to be in control of the direction that the situation goes. So you might want to be a bit more proactive and direct with if they needed, let's say, to move in or whatever, that you're very clear as to what that entails, what the parameters are and the boundaries are for that, rather than for them to come in and determine how long they stay. Or, you know, where you thought it was going to be for 3 months and then they are just there for now it's been a year and a half. there seems to be something happening for them that is either opening up opportunity or giving them the opportunity to expand or travel. And I would, if they were going to come to where you are, I wouldn't anticipate, this is kind of why I was saying this earlier, I wouldn't anticipate it being or allowing it to be something that is for a very long time. So either you would end up going with them someplace else after they had come there for a while, or they come where you are for a while, but then they move on to someplace else.
So don't approach it as a permanent situation or a permanent stopping place. And it's more of like a jumping off point, it's like the start of a new phase of life or the start of a new cycle or some place that allows them to get their feet on the ground and get started again.
Okay. So basically you're saying that this is going to happen. This is going to approach me. Because I had actually gone to another reader a few weeks ago and they had given me the date March 15th and, you know, they just said that this person's going to, and this person is someone from my past that I had a romantic relationship with, and we're really not on good talking terms right now. It's kind of like, you know, he's over there, I'm over here. And, you know, the psychic basically said, March 15th, this person will be living with you. And I was like, well, how is this all going to come back about? And he had said that by the first week of March, I'm going to get a text message, which this is how this guy always conversates with me, through text messages only. And I'm going to get this text message that, you know, I need to talk. Can I come over and talk to you? And he's going to tell me that the living situation where he's at right now is not good. He has to get out, and he's going to want to stay with me until he gets on his feet. Now, are you feeling that that's all going to come about?
Well, yes, because that pretty much reiterates a lot of what I was just saying. But we want to make sure that you are very clear, and you make very clear to him if that's going to be something that you're going to offer or allow him to do, that it's for a limited amount of time, that there are very clear parameters and boundaries as to what that means. And that can be anything from, just because I'm letting you stay here to get back on your feet doesn't mean that we're romantically involved again. So don't get any expectations about, you know, not needing to use the extra bedroom, or just that you make it clear it's only for 6 months, you know, or something like that. And because what's coming up for me is I wouldn't want it to last beyond the fall, especially like I would put, well, probably I would say not past October. So, you know, so you could put like a 6 month limit on it or something.
But do you feel like this guy though is going to try to play around with a relationship, like just so it works out better for him? Like, I mean, I hate to use the word pretend, but do you think he's going to try to pursue a relationship with me just so he can be more comfortable in this house and maybe stay a little bit longer?
So, Anastasia?
Yes.
I see. Yes. Let me jump in here for a second. Anastasia, why would you allow this man to come into your home? Why are you even considering?
Well, first of all, I'm not. The only reason that I'm calling is just to see if this really is going to come down.
Let's stop for a second. Let's stop for a second. If you hadn't gone to the psychic and the psychic hadn't said that to you, would you ever consider reaching out to this guy and saying, hey, if you ever need a place to stay, you can come out and hang out with me? Would you ever consider that?
Well, no, I never tell anyone.
So now, let's say you didn't go to the psychic, and this guy sends you a text message, and he says, we need to talk, and you agree to have a cup of coffee someplace, and he says, I need a place to live. What would motivate you to say, okay, you can come and hang out with me?
Because I'm a very good-hearted person, and a lot of people know that. He knows that.
Okay. All right.
And I think the reason that he would approach me instead of one of his buddies is because I'm a female, we were involved before, and if he comes here, I'm not going to be on him like his buddies after a week, like, hey, buddy, you got to get a job.
What on earth would possess you to even entertain this as something that makes sense for you?
I guess because I'm thinking, you know, maybe a relationship will work out. Maybe
do you want to have a relationship with this guy?
I would like to, yes. We were dating before, but we weren't really in a relationship.
Okay. All right.
He kind of pulled away and pulled back and was running away and scared, and he was the one always running away.
All right, so you would entertain having this guy in your home because you might like to have a relationship with him?
Yes.
Okay. This is really important for you to get very, very, very clear on.
Okay.
This is a dangerous thing for you to do because you are placing yourself and your assets, your home, at his disposal because basically you feel a kind of loneliness that you think he might be able to alleviate.
Okay.
Is that the right thing to do?
I don't know.
Very dangerous motivation on your part.
I've known him for a long time, and I've known him since I was a little girl.
It's okay if you want to give him space in your home because you're a good person, but it's not okay for you to give him a place in your home because you hope that maybe that will lead to a relationship.
That's why I'm asking you, do you feel like he's coming here because he wants a relationship or rekindle things or anything?
I would say no based on the cards that came up, although I would say that there may be an indication he would try to use that aspect to stay there as long as possible, and that the cards that are coming up want this to basically remain both platonic and a business relationship. So, you know, it's like you're renting a room from me and it's for 6 months, but it's like we maintain a very clear business relationship and we don't allow it to be more than that, and don't fall for him trying to imply more than that.
Make moves on me. Right. Because he's not working. He left two different jobs in a very short period of time. And I think the family member where he's living at is just going to say, you know what, you got to get out of here.
Well, so that's why we want you to have very clear boundaries and parameters. If he's not willing to agree to those and sign something that binds him to that understanding or agreement, then you say, fine, then you don't come and live here. But it literally approach it as, I'm getting a boarder, you know, I'm renting to someone.
Right.
This is a tenant for a short-term basis. We sign a contract and have an understanding for that, and that's all it is. And if he's not willing to agree to those terms, then he needs to find something else rather than for you to get swayed into something that is not right or healthy or beneficial for you.
Absolutely. Anastasia, you need to be so certain and so strong in your commitment to keeping the boundary very clear and very hard so that you are not manipulated.
Right, and I don't want to be manipulated, and I don't want to get hurt. Now, are you guys picking up the same time frame? Like, is he going to send me that text message the first week of March or this last week of February here?
Well, if I looked at my cards, the only thing I would do is I would just push it out a little bit. Now, you may receive the message at that time, but in terms of him actually moving in, if you were going to do that, I would, or more likely what this card is saying, when he has to move out of where he is, when he has no choice of moving out of where he is, would probably be, it's the second decan of Aries. So it's the second 10 days of Aries, and Aries starts March 20th. So he'd probably need to be out and want to be moving in with you around the beginning of April.
Okay.
So that has nothing to do with when you might receive the message versus that's probably more likely when he would trying to be push, when he would be pushing to be able to move in. So it would be fairly quickly. But I would
because I don't feel like I'm going to get much notice. I mean, that's why I'm trying to get my head on straight right now.
Right. And I would encourage you to make it a short term. I would say a 6 month thing, because I would say through
right.
September, and then October 1st, he has to be, you know, out.
And remember, okay. Anastasia, and remember this, Anastasia.
Yes.
His problem
right.
should not create an emergency for you. So if
correct.
He calls you up and says, I need to be someplace by tomorrow, you say, well, that's very interesting, but it
right.
has nothing to do with me.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You, the cards that I got are very clear about you needing to stand extremely strong and
right.
you and not allowing his needs to compromise your liberty, your integrity, and it's also clear from these cards that your judgment in this matter is not sturdy. Right?
Right.
And that's why you need to get this stuff written down, and you need
mm-hmm.
to be very firm about it, because he has the capacity to shift your perception in ways that are out of integrity, because mm-hmm. you have a desire for a relationship with him.
Right. And I've known him a long time, and I
sure.
fell in love with him when we started dating, and I
so,
feel sorry for everybody and every animal, and I mean, I just...
So yeah. I'll leave you with these key words from the I Ching.
Okay.
The first thing that came up, which is always where we're at now, says it's hexagram one called the creative. But we need you to have the strength to be the authority figure and
yes.
to be the active or the yang principle. So you have to be the one who is in charge, proactive, and driving the situation rather than passive or submissive in the situation. And then the second hexagram shows what's the outcome or where is this going in the future. And it's hexagram 33, which is called retreat. And what that represents is a timely departure. I mean, literally, that's what this represents. A timely
mm-hmm.
departure, don't hesitate to walk away, and letting go. So I would say that, A, there's a need to not get caught up in the emotional side of things and let go of thinking about, worrying about, or trying to pursue a relationship with this person versus it's just a business arrangement. Have
mm-hmm.
a very clear and timely departure time laid out. And
right.
don't be afraid to, quote-unquote, walk away from the person when that agreed-upon departure time comes. So it'd be like saying, okay, September 30th, you need to be out. And if you're still thinking you're here October 1st, the locks have been changed and you won't be able to get in. So it's not being afraid to stay true to what you have agreed upon and making it happen, being very clear about it, and being very active in staying true to that and keeping it within those boundaries. So
okay.
there you are.
And that exercise will reveal a tremendous amount. That having that
right.
discipline, you exercising that discipline, will reveal a tremendous amount about him to you and about you to him.
Okay.
This is very important for you.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in.
Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate both of you.
All right. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next we're going to go to, I believe it is someone who actually has Skyped in, and it's showing the name Athena's Mind. So let's see if we can bring in Athena's Mind. Are you there, Athena's Mind?
I am.
You are. Is your name Athena?
You got it. It is.
Well, you see how psychic we are. I tuned into my spirit guides that I call Skype, and they showed me a name. So what is it that you would like to ask about for us to look at today?
I am starting a new business. By the way, I live in the Middle East. I live in Jordan.
Wow.
And so this is a factor. But I'm starting a business with advertising on coffee sleeves. You know, it's been done in America, but believe it or not, they don't have it here. And I'm kind of at a situation where I will be taking my last dollars to do this. It's kind of like a do or die situation. So I was wondering if you see that it's worth, you know, taking that leap.
No pressure.
Right. But it's like if I don't, I die anyway. So I don't know. You know, maybe you might see something.
Well, wow, that sounded so dire. considering our view of that part of the world, when you say like, "Well, if I don't, I die anyway," it's like, "Wow, good heavens, okay."
How long have you been in Jordan?
3.5 years.
Wow, do you like it?
You know, I like it in many, many, many ways, but it's been very difficult to do business. Period. Mostly because I'm a woman. But.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you from Jordan?
No, I'm from Southern California, from Palm Springs.
Oh, well. Well, at least the weather's not that different.
Right, exactly.
Exactly, yeah. No, it's really beautiful, and it's a very simplistic, easy-going lifestyle.
Okay. So, for me, the things that came up, first of all of the cards that came up are reversed, which means they came up upside down. Now, that's not always necessarily a bad thing, but one thing that can indicate as an overall theme is it seems as if there are some, even still, there are some major hurdles or obstacles that are going to really challenge you with this. We kick off with the reversed One of Water, Ace of Cups, which is called Open Channel. And the reversal would say that this isn't going to flow very easily or very smoothly. That if you think of that idea of open channel, it's going to be like we constantly have a door closed or a dam put up or something that blocks the flow of the water, which would be the business and what you're trying to do to be able to move forward freely or smoothly and efficiently. And next to that is the reversed Four of Water. And when that card gets reversed, there's a tendency for us to be on storm-tossed waters. It's like everything gets really stirred up. And an analogy you could use is if you get motion sickness, don't get in the boat. So if you don't have a resolve of steel and are capable of facing and dealing with the obstacles, the prejudices, the situation being a woman and all that kind of stuff, know that you're going to constantly be coming up against that rather than if I get through that and start the business and become successful, then people will respect me as a woman just because I'm a successful business person. That's probably not going to be the case. And unless you have that resolve of steel, then I would caution you against getting in the boat because you're going to find yourself feeling tossed about constantly and always nauseous and sick. The reversal next of the High Priestess card may show that intuitively, like the High Priestess can be a card of the intuition, and it can show us that reversed, either we're not listening to or paying attention to what our intuition or our intuitive sense is about something, or that it just is going against what would be in our highest good or interest, because the High Priestess is kind of like that greater purpose, that greater higher self for ourselves. And then the Three of Fire comes up reversed as well. And Three of Fire, actually we just talked about a minute ago, but tends to be a card that represents expansion or the horizon, the possibilities are opening up for us to move into new areas, or there's an ability to go beyond where we're at now. But the reversal of it shows us that it may be very limited in the kind of opportunities that you would have or in the ability that you would have to really grow and expand the business successfully. And then the reversed Justice card comes up, which shows that you wouldn't be treated fairly, that you wouldn't necessarily have legal recourse, maybe because of the status of women there, et cetera. So on the one hand, I would say that this isn't very encouraging for pursuing this in the way that you are now. Because you say it's taking every last dollar. Do they use dollars in Jordan? It's taking every last dollar. I would caution against doing that. One thing I would say with the reversals, however, is if you could do this as a silent partner and have, say, a male partner as a front, then you may be able to be more successful in pursuing this.
Okay, I do have that. Is there any way to find out what that would be different? And can I just ask you, throw in one more thing? I have been here for 3.5 years, and I have been told over and over and over that I'm here for a reason, and it's to be a leader for women and children. But, you know, I'm trying to pay the bills, so I don't know if, like, if the universe is telling me now that it's like, okay, no more procrastinating, you know, no matter what you do, unless you're going to stand up and be a leader, you're going to fail. Am I at that point?
So
because, I mean, everything I try, nothing works.
Right. So the way I would see this, because in one regard, none of the cards that came up are things that we would look at that would specifically be about money or business. So there does seem to be something else at play or some other aspect going on here. And I would look at it and say, if you have a front person, so mm-hmm. I would go back to operating kind of behind the scenes or more subversively. So mm-hmm. if you have a front person that, say, is a male, mm-hmm. so that the business can happen, then you being a leader or helping women and children and that kind of thing may actually come in a more subversive or quiet way. You don't have to be out in front doing that. It may be that having the male as the front person and the business being able to be successful, you then take money, the profits from the business, and you funnel them towards women and children, say to fund a school quietly or to give micro loans to women to do their own little business out of their house or whatever that they're able to do without it being an issue in terms of the whole culture thing. That reversal, with all these cards reversed, there seems to be a sense of operating somehow under the radar or behind the scenes, which doesn't mean you make less of an impact. Just that how you're operating doesn't mean you have to be standing up at a podium, you know, risking getting assassinated because you're a woman standing up for this and that, versus finding a way to fund being able to help those people, even if it's not obvious to somebody who's only looking in a very simple kind of way for somebody that would be in the spotlight doing that. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, and I do have a man that I'm working with, my brother-in-law, and he's always trying to push me, well, not push me, but encourage me to go to the front, because on one hand, they always tell me that they respect Americans so much, but then I think it's the fact that I'm a woman, you know what I mean? And so they love the minds of Americans, but then when it comes down to it, nothing ever works out, and so... You know, we're kind of like, well, what are we doing wrong? I mean, after 3.5 years, it's getting old.
Athena. How do I say this clearly? They respect Americans, and they respect the fact that American women can be successful, and all that kind of stuff. One of the things that we have to be attentive to is. And you probably know this, so maybe this is, I'm just preaching, I'm saying stuff you already know, but they expect you to be a woman, right? Now, and I'm bringing this out specifically because the cards that I got for you, the first card that I got for you from the fairy deck was the Dark Lady. And this is a card that is it's a powerful card of feminine, of the feminine principle in a very earthly way, right? So when you are presented with the Dark Lady, it's about being that juicy, almost seductive kind of presence that is willing to receive from the masculine. Doesn't act masculine. It's open to to being highly receptive. So if you think about your approach into the market as a woman, you can't go in being a man. You have to go in being a woman.
The cards are indicating that there's a very powerful, you know how guys are, right? They're beautiful women make great salespeople to men because the men love to be around beautiful women. So I say that as an example. The cards are suggesting that you have great power if you are willing to use it. And of course, using feminine power wisely is extraordinarily important. And it's a delicate matter that you no doubt already understand. The companion card to that is the Tower reversed, which suggests that you're not going to change the culture. You know, you're not going to break loose something in this way. It wants to be broken loose. It needs to be broken loose, but it's not going to get broken loose. So you have to work within the mechanics of the environment that will actually produce results in the presence of the resistance or the brokenness that you understand as, you know, women don't get respect, or, you know, the Middle Eastern culture that puts women in a certain role. Okay, so if that's the culture, you have to use your capacities to harness power even in the presence of that structure. And it is possible. The next card that I got for you is Death, and that's from the Fairy deck. And Death, in virtually every interpretation of Death, Death is about a dramatic and powerful transformation or transition. So it would seem to indicate that giving yourself the permission to harness your feminine power in this environment will lead to a kind of success, which is a transition from your current way of being. Now, the companion card to that is the Magician. So it looks like your last energies of the old way can be applied if you are willing to do what it takes to harness your capacities that currently you see as the impediment to your success. Now, it doesn't mean that your business is going to be successful. It doesn't mean that you're going to be successful advertising on coffee cup sleeves, but it does mean that you will go into a place of dramatic transformation. And on the other side of this Death and Magician card are the cards of alchemy and celebration. So it would suggest that you're going to learn something about, or the environment is going to shift in such a way that your capacities will be able to drive through, will be harnessable in creative ways. If you can get creative, the alchemy is at hand once you get through this transformation, and celebration is in the wind. So a beneficial outcome after a radical transformation that is dependent upon your ability to turn your weakness into a strength. Did that make sense?
It does make sense. Can I just make sure that I understand? In a very clear way, because thank you. That was very in-depth and it made so much sense.
Oh, but, I'm sorry, so, Athena. You're breaking up. You're going to have to start again.
Thank you. Everything made sense. Can you hear me?
Yes. There's a little bit of jitteriness, but I can hear you.
So does this mean I should act more submissive?
Well, you know, I don't think that it's submissiveness so much as it is feminine wiliness.
What is that, like 40?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't, you know, like, well, you have to understand that from, you know, the facts on the ground over there. Hi, C, what do you have to offer here?
Well, one, I was going to say that, you know, your card coming up, the first card that came up was called the Dark Lady.
Yes.
And so that could be you, Athena, as the lady operating in the dark, which I would go back to is kind of operating under the radar. And one of the hexagram, one of the I Ching cards that came up is hexagram 17, which is called following. And it has to do with like cooperation, loyalty, literally developing a following. So I would, you know, so one, I would say, if you can focus on developing co-ops or cooperative situations amongst women or women and children, so that they're working together rather than working individually or alone or isolated or in solitude, and that you start doing that, you will develop a following of people who are loyal to you and who look to you for that guidance, because you'll be the one who's bringing them together and maybe providing them a little seed money or whatever. That will then translate into some of the other cards that John had, which is having greater influence and power. And it makes me think of like in Egypt, for example, where now the women are coming out and protesting, where they would have never done that before, against the treatment that they're getting, whether it's the women who are at the protests or whatever. But they're now, they're finding their voice. They're willing to stand up and be heard. But it's because they started coming together, and you are likely a force that is able to start doing that. I think the respect for Americans is something that you would find amongst the women, because they will, they have a certain view or perspective of what American women are, what they're able to do, etc. But it doesn't mean that you have to just put yourself out there on a stage, versus you can use that influence to develop that following behind the scenes that then bubbles up from underneath the surface and becomes a larger movement over time.
Okay. Great.
The exercise of soft power.
Okay. And thank you so much, because that makes sense for my long run. And if I were able to use my front man for my business, then perhaps would be successful.
Well, bear in mind that success is a very subjective thing, right?
Put food on the table.
Well, it may, you know, it looks like that, you know, the some radical transition is going to happen. So it may work for a little while, and then it ceases to become suitable, and then you go through this transformation, and then you hope at that point you will have cultivated your soft power in such a way that you have the following that you would need to be fulfilling your mission. And whether that mission is something that you do because you make money, or whether that mission is something that you do because you become visible enough that you get funding, success doesn't depend on money.
Is it possible that you could reconfigure the business model so that you could reach out to, say, organizations or people or whatever, say, in the United States or elsewhere, who may be willing to invest? It'd be like doing a Kickstarter campaign or something like that, or going to organizations that specifically focus on supporting organizations and initiatives that are directed towards women and children. That would be willing, this is going back more kind of towards that co-op idea, that would be willing to invest in this business as long as the business model is reconfigured so that the objective and the focus of, say, the profits of the company are going towards helping women and children, rather than it's simply being a for-profit business. And that doesn't mean, you know, and so that doesn't mean that you wouldn't make money from it or be able to pay yourself or whatever. It just means you may be able to not have to sink every last dollar of your own into it, but also that the business, and I think this may be why the reversals were coming up this way, especially that reversed High Priestess card, says there may be a spiritual component missing from the business or the business model that would feed it and make it successful on multiple levels rather than just on a material level. And that doing it just as a for-profit business may not be the most successful way, But if it has a certain reconfiguration so that it actually is a business geared towards making money that will then benefit and profit women and children, then you may find that you're not so much having to invest everything you have, but also there is a lot greater success. Like John was saying, success comes in many ways. And it opens up the levels of success and what it means to be successful with it from just being the monetary aspect.
Yeah, from just putting food on the table to your overarching mission and desire to be, you know, your purpose.
And it could be that you end up being able to sell those coffee holder things back to the United States or to charitable organizations that, you know, it's like where you have like the bracelets that say something for the women of Africa or whatever, but it would be selling them back here, where maybe they're imprinted with something that is your business or your organization that's helping women, so that every time somebody buys or uses one of those, you're getting a portion of that sale, and it's helping to fund your business and the work you're doing, while also being something that you're selling over there with advertising or whatever on it as well. So those are the kinds of things that I would see here in terms of how it may need to be rethought or reconfigured so that the business becomes something that is part of your mission rather than just is a separate making money thing, and then you're doing something completely over here on a different side for what you're there to be doing.
That totally makes sense.
Okay.
Wow.
Well,
thank you, guys. You really helped me to have clear perspective now on that. That it makes a lot of sense. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for calling in. And good luck over there in Jordan.
Yeah, and let us know. Let us know. We'll be interested in seeing how this unfolds.
I will. Yeah. Absolutely will. I appreciate it.
Excellent.
Have a good Sunday.
All right. Good luck. All right. I see. I think we've dropped our our live stream.
It is true.
So we still have some time to take a few more calls, and they'll be available on the. On the archive.
Yes. So we will jump to area code 469. Are you there, area code 469? Hello? Anyone there calling from area code 469? Well, all right then.
Hello?
Oh, there's somebody.
Are you calling from area code 469?
Yes.
Oh, all right. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Lashandra, and I'm in Texas.
Okay. And what question is it that you have for us today?
I was just basically trying to see, did you see a reconciliation between my husband and I? His name is Daryl.
Daryl.
Do you just basically see us sorting through the, you know, issues that we've had in the past? I know, you know, the things. I know I have my faults, and, of course, he has his. But I'm just trying to get some clarity on will we have the opportunity to, you know, work through things.
All right.
So, based on the cards that I'm getting, I would wonder if he is being faithful.
Oh, I know that, you know, I walked away from him, so I can, you know, accept the fact that he's with, you know, well, I don't accept it, but I know that there is someone, you know, he's seeing now. I'm just wondering, do you see that as, you know, dissolving and he and I have an opportunity to come back together?
Right. Well, based on the cards that came up here, that wouldn't seem very likely as something that is a possibility in the near future.
Okay.
You know, the card that came up for you is the Three of Wind. Now here it's called Recognition, which means that you may, and swords tend to be about the truth or seeing through to what really is. So it may be that it's time for you to come to a clear and accepting recognition of what the truth and the reality of the situation are.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say very traditionally, Three of Swords is a card of divorce or heartbreak or grief endings. So it may be that it's time for you to recognize that it's better to start looking at this and moving in a way that allows for this to be done rather than continuing to either put your life on hold or holding out hope for something that never seems to come, but maybe if I just wait a little while longer, hope a little harder. And then the card that came up for the relationship is the Six of Water reversed. Six of Water is often a card of being offered something, especially because it's water. It's this idea of being offered either somebody's heart or something that makes us happy. And the reversal would say that the cup is upside down. So the water has spilled away. So there doesn't seem to be a connection or the emotion that would be needed in order for a new or a reconciled offering to be made. So his heart may not be in it. He may not have the feelings that would be needed to be willing to try to make a reconciliation happen or work. He's, you know, the card that came up for him is Sister Fire. I think it's almost like he's a little kid again. It'd be like going through a midlife crisis. Like he's having fun playing and he doesn't want to take anything seriously. And that's not necessarily a good thing in this instance. It's more a sense that because with fire, you get caught up in ego, and Sister Fire especially tends to be like an Aries. It's like an only child syndrome. It's all about me. And so he just wants to play, and he doesn't seem to be able to see past his own needs, his own ego, his own desire. And that doesn't seem to include taking you and your feelings into consideration or be putting a lot of thought towards reconciling your relationship with him.
So when you said you didn't see it in the near future, did you see it at all, or...?
Well, not at this point. I mean, unless some radical growing up and change happened with him, then there's a sense that it's not something that's likely to happen anytime soon. And when I say that, that doesn't mean, oh, well, let's hold out for the long term. It means it's not very likely to happen unless some radical thing really shifted or changed somebody, but we're not seeing that happen here with what's coming up.
Okay.
John?
Yeah, I have a similar card indicating the inability to resolve into a state of wholeness, and there's a lot of power behind that inability. I also see a call to speaking and recognizing the truth, the Judgment card. Major Arcana card about really being who you really are and not being willing to compromise who you really are, speaking your truth, and letting the chips fall where they may, right? And that's, you know, sometimes that can mean speaking to your vulnerability and your pain, but it doesn't say one way or the other whether there's a happy ending. It just says that what is essential is the truth.
And for me, the Judgment card often is a card that says, wake up and smell the coffee. That it's time to face the writing on the wall, face the reality, and see beyond the illusion we're trying to create for ourselves so that we simply recognize, like this other Three of Wind card was saying, recognize and face the truth as it is now and start operating from there rather than creating illusions that we can live in so that we can stay in denial or that we continue to put our life on hold, waiting or hoping for something that if we looked at it through the eyes of truth, we would see probably is not a possibility, and I don't need to put myself on hold waiting for that. And that combined with the Six of Water, because you were asking when I say in the short term, Six of Water reverse, Six of Water is like a card of nostalgia, or like recapturing, repeating, or recreating the past. And reversing it says we're not likely to be able to recapture, recreate, or repeat the past. So we have to let go of trying to go back to what we may perceive as having been a happier time and start letting go of the past to look forward to the future. And how do I go about starting to create new happiness for myself? How do I start moving towards new relationship possibilities that can make you happy rather than holding on to or holding out for trying to recapture or recreate one from the past at the expense of what may also be out there waiting for you beyond and instead of this.
And, you know, I got another card here for you as well, and that was Pan in my deck, or would be the Devil card. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's something here that can be difficult to contemplate. You know, there's two things I want to say to you. One is, you know who Daryl is now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you love him as he is?
You're asking me that?
Yeah, I'm asking you that.
Do I love him? I love him unconditionally. So,
as he is.
I may not accept him for, you know, I may not like the things that he do, but do I love him? Yes.
Okay, so accepting what he does, it, given the choices that he's made, right? You know the nature of this man.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the person you want to be with?
No.
Okay. Well, then I would say that expecting him or hoping for a reconciliation would then compels him to change dramatically aspects of himself. And, you know, you can still be in relationship with him if you are willing to accept him the way he is. If you're not willing to accept him the way he is and be in relationship with that guy, then I don't think that you, you know, I suspect that you will be disappointed in seeking a reconciliation.
Okay. So basically what you're saying is if I choose to, if we have the opportunity of being together, but I'm not going to be the only person he's with.
Well, what I want to say about that is he's obviously has something, some need that is unmet. And it may be, we might judge it and say, well, it's an immature need. But, you know, everybody wants to be happy. Right. So
right.
This is some way that he's trying to express, trying to discover a way to be happy. Then,
mm-hmm.
you know, then there's obviously something about his life that where he isn't satisfied, where he isn't happy. How you help him to find happiness, if you so choose, is open. There's a million ways you can do that. One of the ways you can do that is to accept that you're not going to be the only woman in his life. That isn't necessarily what's going to make him happy, though, right? This mm-hmm. is going to be a process for him, too. And so, you know, it's very rare that the answer is, well, everybody just does whatever the heck they want to do, and that goes on forever. Because that's not actually going to – that doesn't actually make you happy anyway, right? So it's coming up against resistance – and experiencing the discomfort that calls you into growth that actually results in progress and feels like fulfillment. So he may be in this place right now where he's trying to figure out how to be happy and he thinks having another woman is the way to do it. Well, you know what? That may be what's working for him right now. It might not last. But the key is recognizing that he's doing it for a reason.
I'm trying to figure out, because I've been blaming myself, and maybe it's something that I'm not doing right, that, you know, that, I don't know.
Well, you know, that's something that you have to do in conversation with him, right? And,
yeah.
And, you know, taking the blame is probably wrong, right? You know, blame is a weird thing, right? We're all responsible for our own happiness. And, you know, you can't blame yourself for him not being happy. You have to allow him to seek his happiness and try to work cooperatively with him so that you can grow into happiness together. And he has to do the same for you. Right, because then you know how it's no good if you're doing all the bending and he's, you know, he's the only one that's happy. You also need to be happy, right? And you need to be responsible for your happiness. He needs to be responsible for his happiness. And the degree to which you want to work on your happiness together, that's the nature of your relationship. He wants to support you in coming into your happiness, and you want to support him into coming into his happiness. That's the nature of your relationship. Anything else is coercive. Anything else is like, you owe me. Well, you know, in a relationship, in a really healthy relationship, you owe me is never, it's not real. There is no you owe me in a relationship. There's only, I want to be with you and I want to work on this with you. So if he doesn't want to do that work with you, or you don't want to do that work with him, you know, in whatever aspect of your relationship, then you don't have a relationship there.
And, you know, I understand that you all can only, you know, tell me what you see in the cards. But my thing is like, people change and prayer changes things. And we're so quick to be told to, you know, give up on things and not actually, you know, you tell me to look at the big picture, and don't get me wrong, I look at the picture, and I also look at, you know, my faith and my prayer and my trust in God, you know, to change things around. So don't get me wrong, I totally understand where, you know, where you're coming from. You can only tell me what the cards show, but also, you know, prayer changes things.
Well, the possibility for change is always there. However, what I would see and what came up for me is that kind of change happening isn't likely to happen anytime soon. And it's not worth it for you to wait for that change rather
when
than...
When you say anytime soon, how far do you see?
Well, if you think, I mean, if we look at it like the card that came up for him, Sister Fire, being he's a child, then how long does it take before a child grows up and is mature and is an adult and is willing to start acting like an adult? It takes a long time. So the amount of time that it will take is not worth you putting your life on hold waiting for that to happen. It's like the mother who gives birth to the child and then says, I'm going to put what I want to do on hold until my child is grown and out of the house. And if that's 18 to 21 years, that means that person may not be able to even do what they want to do because they'll be 18 to 20 years older, which may mean that they're not in a place or a condition to be able to do some of those things. So we don't want you to miss out on the other things that life has to offer you because you continue waiting for this change to happen. If it happens, then it'll come back into your life at some point in the future and you can revisit it and reconsider it then. But it's not that you have to sit at home in isolation, basically, waiting for that change to happen and then you realize...
No, that's the thing. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm not going to put my life on hold, but I'm not going to give up on my marriage either. That's what I'm trying to, you know, that's what I'm trying to get clarity on. You know, do you see, you know, this as being the end, you know, completely, or do you see, you know, us going our own way and, you know, us returning to each other's lives at another point?
Okay,
I see it as an end. And I see the Six of Cups reversed, saying that this is not something that we will be coming back around to.
And Lashandra, what I would say, because I understand where you're coming from,
don't think of it, don't think of your relationship with Daryl as a fixed thing. Don't, when people of faith take on the idea of marriage, right, and we say it's a lifetime commitment and things like that, you may well continue to have faith in your marriage and continue to work on your marriage. But if you can, stop thinking of it as a marriage for the period that is required, where this very difficult work needs to be done. Stop thinking of it as a marriage and start thinking of it as a relationship, right? As a relationship between you and Daryl that will take whatever form is best for each of you. And see what shape that relationship actually is, right? And this is really key. Instead of saying I am married to this man and my definition of marriage is X and this is what I expect in a marriage, and so this is what it quote unquote should be. Step away from that for a moment, because clearly that's not what it is. And try to understand just what exactly is my relationship with Daryl. What does he want in relationship with me? What is it right now that feels right to him and to me? So getting to the place where you understand where you are right now is absolutely essential for you to understand what steps to take next. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of saying you're not going to pass judgment on whether there's reconciliation in the future or not until you actually understand who each of you are in relationship to one another and what you want from relationship. And that opens the door to growth and healing and reconciliation in a couple of ways, the most important of which is the removal of judgment about somebody doing something right or somebody doing something wrong or somebody being somebody's fault or whatever, right? If you just say, okay, we're going to take the whole story that we have about what our relationship is supposed to be and set it aside for now and say, what actually is our relationship? And then you can start to, then you both get to choose on how to build from there. So getting that clarity is really, really highly valuable to you and your next steps.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling in and listening.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And
good luck. Good luck.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Okay. And now we go to area code 408. Are you there, area code 408?
Yes, I am.
All right. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Eli, and I'm calling from San Jose.
All right. And do you have a particular question or topic that you would like us to look at for you?
I guess the topic of relationship, but see if there's anything coming my way this year.
Okay.
Eli, have you been in San Jose for a while?
Yes, I have. Since 89.
Since 89. And are you in high tech?
Yes.
And how have your relationships been since 89?
Pretty short, usually only lasting 8 or 9 months.
Mm-hmm. And what is the typical reason, if there is one? Have you been in relationships frequently? I mean, have you had a good run? or there's a lot of oasis in the desert kind of thing.
I guess there was a good run in the beginning when I first moved here, and then it was dry for a little bit, and then I had a few more. But recently, I guess it hasn't been nothing very meaningful. There have been a couple short relationships with people that I've met, but
mm-hmm.
it hasn't been anything very deep.
Right, right. Well, before I even draw a card, I'm getting something about you visiting your joy more often. Like, do you have hobbies? Or do you just work?
I do, yes.
You do have hobbies.
No, I do, yeah.
Okay. And are you cultivating those hobbies with, you know, joyfully and playfully?
I guess not as much as I should be. I guess I'm more peripherally into them, but I don't really get into them deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is an area where, you know, it's not uncommon for people who are busy and who have career opportunities, like oftentimes we do in Silicon Valley. There's a lot of opportunity to invest our time in our careers. Relationships come, the best kind of relationships come from the time that we invest in the things we love to do. The likelihood that we're going to meet a person who is going to delight us and feel like a good fit and have things in common is higher when we're doing the things that we love. Because if we're doing the things that we love and they're not solitary endeavors, we're probably doing them with other people who love to do those same things. And so that's where you're going to find people who are, you know, quote unquote, cool and interesting to you, is when you're doing things that you find cool and interesting with other people who find those things cool and interesting.
Right.
So, you know, where is your passion? Where is your joy? Go cultivate that. And that's, you know, standard recommendation from me for people who are looking to determine how and when they're going to find a relationship is go do the things you love. And that's where your relationships have the greatest chance of finding you. So let's see. Hi, C, do you have some cards for Elon?
I do. So one thing I would say is that it seems as if you are willing to break out of a mode of complacency or stagnation. Four of Water comes up reversed, so there's a sense of instead of just existing, instead of just kind of floating along, that we are more actively engaged in stirring the waters. That can either mean instead of just waiting for something to come to us and then we just get disappointed when it never seems to arrive, versus going out and actively trying to stir up interest, stir up connections, find people and that kind of thing. And this card also comes next to the Temperance card. So there's a sense of stirring and blending things. So when you talk about hobbies and things, it would be finding something that combines interests in some way rather than it just being one thing. So either it's doing things that would bring together more than one interest or hobby in some way. It could be that you meet people or you put yourself out there, even if it's online, that you put yourself on places that are representative of you in multiple ways. So you'd, you know, like have a profile on one site that represents or is geared towards people with a particular hobby, but then you also are on a different site that's a whole different kind of interest or hobby that you have. Or perhaps there's one that combines that. It makes me think, if you'll pardon this example, you know, it makes me think there's a website. It was kind of like a, and maybe it's still around, but it was geared towards specifically people who liked comics and the comic world and were gay. So it was very specific in that way, but that's like a blending or a combination of things rather than only being one of those things and being on a site that only caters to one side of that versus something that caters to a blend of those things. So it's finding areas, opportunities, outlets, activities, etc., that seem to bring those kind of things together. You know, like, well, I realize it sounds like it's on a theme here, but like my my partner is really into cars, and he belongs to a group called Stick Shifters, which is actually specifically for gay people, gay guys, really, gay guys who are interested in cars. So there's kind of a blending. So he's not just, you know, what you might think of stereotypically in some kind of a car club where he would have no opportunity to meet other people with other kinds of interests that he may have, meaning being around like all straight guys or something. But it's something that combines those things. So really strive to either look for, or the stirring up could be that you actively start to create something that combines things in order to open up your possibilities and opportunities to connect with and meet people in that way. This may be, what's the month and day of your birth?
January 29th.
Okay. So this is a 9-year for you, and the death card came up here as well. And so there's a sense that a particular phase or cycle in terms of your love life or your relationship life has the opportunity to come to completion or closure this year in order to start a new phase or a new cycle. But that would mean that you have to look at patterns that you tend to fall into or that have contributed to the pattern of relationships that you described earlier, and how you can change the pattern of behavior or thinking so that that doesn't continue to be a repeating cycle. So you have the opportunity this year to see how things have been come to an end, and new opportunities as well as a new phase of relationship to open up or be possible and have potential for you during this year. I wouldn't anticipate it probably until the summer or later, but that may mean that you just are taking the time between now and then to start exploring where some of those opportunities are with that blending that I was talking about, like groups or activities or events or something that would kind of combine some of those interests that you have.
Right.
And you have to make sure that you are not still operating from a place of holding on to a past hurt or disappointment that you still carry around with you that causes you to define yourself or relationships in a certain way, or think that, well, maybe it's never going to happen or work for me anyway, because look at how that situation turned out. That's probably how it's going to go every single time. And that's where we come back to, this is the year where you have the opportunity to recognize that pattern and start to change it, rather than thinking that's just something that happens outside of your control versus you play a part in whether that pattern continues and repeats or not.
Right.
So initially really take the time to think about what do I carry around with me that I haven't been able to let go of or move past? And how do I bring an end or bring closure to that so I can open up the space for new things to come in? If we're still surrounded by or in contact with people or things or environments that represent the old and make it difficult to let it go, to move past it, or to have space for the new to come in, then maybe this is the year where we have to be willing to let go of those things and open up the space by literally putting ourselves in a new space where that can come in, rather than having the old still being around us in some way. But that's going to be very key this year, is bringing final ending, completion, closure to letting go of and opening up that space, rather than expecting something to be able to squeeze in if it can find a little bit of room, but now it can't even breathe because it's so tight in here, and then it suffocates and withers.
Right.
So hopefully that made some sense from both John and
yes, me. It did. Yes, both of those readings made a lot of sense.
Okay. So pay attention. Well, pay attention to what you need to be doing. I would say not until after, well, probably towards the end of summer, after the 7th month, 8th month, But then there does seem to be a sense with the Seven of Water reversed that we stop playing the field and we start getting more focused on what we're looking for, as well as the opportunity for more of the one or more of a primary relationship to come into focus or to be available to us will start to be there. But you have to be ready and have made the space for it. Otherwise, it's not going to be able to squeeze in or last for very long because it'll get suffocated out just like before, which would be the repeating pattern.
Yeah, that repeating pattern, you know, one of the cards that I got for you is recognizing where what has contributed to the pattern that you're in. Sense of loss is, or the sense of aloneness is not externally created necessarily. It's circumstantially kind of encouraged by something in your behavior, something in your environment or your behavior. And so you have to look carefully at that. And there's a kind of stillness that's required to do that. A little bit of a shift in your perception of what's possible, right? We live in a garden. This planet is a garden, so we get what we cultivate.
Right.
So be more conscious about what you cultivate.
And I think I'm changing my way of thinking to be more like that, because I think in the past I've been a little more, I haven't been as open, but I think I'm changing more to accept what you just stated, that, you know, it's a very open world and not to be so narrow-minded and more accepting of things coming my way.
Well, and that's that opportunity of the 9 year. You're conscientious of that now. Now you can start bringing closure to that way of thinking in order to open up to new thinking rather than just falling back into the old thinking over and over again and old behaviors.
Exactly.
So.
Yes. Yep.
Well, thank you very much for having listened and called in and been patient enough to wait until we could get to you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're
all
welcome.
Good luck. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Well, and whether because we talked to them or they decided not to wait around, we've gotten through everyone. There's no one left at this point in the queue.
I think it's because we're actually off the air now.
Well, if people were already in the queue, they would have still been listening. They can still hear.
Okay.
So we want to thank everybody for listening. And we will remind you that next week will be, next week we'll have a lot of things. Next Sunday, on the first Sunday of each month, will be Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn McDonald. And that's at 10:30 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday morning. Tuesday, which is March 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, March 5th, will be John's other show, A Shamanic Life, which airs on the first and third Tuesdays of each month at 8 p.m. And then on that Thursday, March 7th, will be What's Your Prescription for Balance, which is at 3:30 p.m. Pacific time and is hosted by Mildred Lynn McDonald and Dr. Glenna Calder. So that will be coming up in the first week of March, and we would encourage you to listen to those. Of course, our call-in show for readings is every fourth Sunday, which is basically every last Sunday of the month at 10:30. We have lots of other shows also that are part of the Firefly Willows LIVE channel that come to you each month. Second Sundays is Revolution with High C. That's me. At 10:30, the second Tuesdays of each month is the Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, which is co-hosted by Charlie Harrington and myself, High C. Third Sundays is Convergence with John Carosella. And that's John. And we have a couple of other shows that are on the launching pad and haven't quite started yet, but are probably going to be starting within the next month or so. So we would encourage you to watch the newsletter that comes out, as well as to keep listening, because we will be keeping you informed about those. And you can also check our website at fireflywillows.com/live or our Facebook page at facebook.com/fireflywillows, and we'll certainly have information and announcements about those shows as well. So thank you, John.
Thank you, Heishi.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to get in touch with us personally, you can always get in touch with John if you're interested with working with him in more depth by visiting his website at theshamanist.com, or you can email him at jc@theshamanist.com. You can always send a message to us via the Facebook page at Firefly Willows on Facebook. And you can find me, Hi-C, at tarotbyhi-c.net, or you can email me at hi-c@tarotbyhi-c.net. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We look forward to having you join us again next week. Next Sunday will be our next show, which will be Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn. So until then, enjoy yourself. And what seems to have been the theme for today, find your joy and be willing to live it.
Enjoying today's show? Want to share it with a friend? Or maybe you've missed one of our previous programs. Well, you can always find the archives of our past shows on fireflywillows.com/live. Stop by and check out our live call-in shows or shows from one of our hosts. Mildred Lynn McDonald, Heisi Luckmers, and John Carosella are available too. Join us. Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. Join us next week as Mildred Lynn McDonald hosts Healing Conversations. Mildred Lynn will take you on a fascinating tour of the mind-body-spirit connection through a combination of healing conversations, hands-on personal growth tools, and a generous sprinkling of East Coast humor and warmth. This is Deb Carosella. Please join us next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Firefly Willows LIVE presents.